Mr. Madison, real one. What's your date of birth, Mr. Madison?
23rd of June, 1912.
And where were you born?
At Wyland Street, Gateshead. That's where the metro centre is, I don't know.
How many was in the family?
Four.
Boys, girls?
Two sisters and a brother and a son.
What did your father do for a living?
He worked in railway, green screen automobiles.
Was it a well-paid job?
No, not that time.
So was childhood pretty rough, was it? Pretty hard?
Oh, quite a good time. You know, the kids together. The school was just behind where I lived.
What kind of an area was it like? No, the area itself, was it a mining area, for example?
No, I wouldn't say it was a mining area, no. Not all mixed trades. My brother, he was a motor mechanic. He worked with Masons and Gateshead. And then he went right through the war as MT sergeant.
Was it a closely knit community?
Pardon?
Was it a closely knit community?
Oh, yes. What is,
you could leave your doors open. Did your mother work?
Well, she needed, you know, up to a certain age. Just the usual, you know, washing and scrubbing offices and whatnot, the coppers.
What kind of activities did you get up to as a child?
I couldn't say we did much. There wasn't much to do, except for playing football or doing PT.
Where were you in the family, in the sense of, were you the oldest or youngest?
The youngest.
You were the youngest one. What age were you when you went to school?
Five, I think it was. 5 years old.
What was the name of the school?
Yes.
What was its name, the school?
St. Mary's.
What are your memories of school life?
Well, it wasn't too bad, considering.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
Well, it was Mr. Lloyd, Mr. Jeffries. I can't remember the other ones. Mr. Lloyd, she went away to Australia. And that's the other ones.
What was the discipline in school like?
I was pretty strong.
You get the cane, did you?
If you look sideways, you got the cane. Dumb and sense.
The house that you lived in, can you describe it?
It was a two-room house upstairs. And just had the usual meeting, so.
Did your father have a garden or an allotment?
No. No, he was mostly, you know, being in the army, he used to spend his time to drill all the night time when he came back.
Had he served through the First World War?
Pardon?
Had he served through the First World War?
No, I've been employed, you see, for the railway.
Was there enough food for you in the house?
Pardon?
Was there enough food? You were all right for food in the house?
We were all right for food, as it was that time, you know. We still lived.
Which school did you move to after the first one?
I was at the same school all the time. Look.
Right through?
Right through from 5 to 14.
What did young, growing children do for leisure in those days?
Oh, there wasn't much to do. Couldn't say anything particular.
Sport or anything of that kind?
Oh, well, there's very little sport, actually. A lot of I think the majority just used to go to pictures and that was that. I never thought there was sport.
Were you involved in the church or the chapel?
We used to go to St Mary's Church, that's the one that was Phillips has said the time dangerous. We had to take over the parish church and was burned down.
And was that every Sunday that you went?
Not every Sunday. We used to go to Sunday school. That was, you know, the ordinary school there during the week. One day on Sunday afternoon. Well, it was a must and you had to go to Sunday school, not now.
Did you get involved with the Boy Scouts or the Boys Brigade?
No.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Where did you go? Where did you start work?
I started working with John Joe Boyd, used to be in Hillgate, you know, where the time bridge is now. I saw that bridge from beginning to end.
What work was it?
I was wood turner. Wood machinist and in the cabinet trade.
And was this an apprenticeship?
Yes. So an apprenticeship then when I was 21, I was sitting an apprentice on it and I was finished. And then there's a different apprentice on and it was off.
Were you able to get a job as soon as you finished school?
No. No, I had to wait for quite a while before I started. Well, it was a good fool to work for John J. Boyd's. I guess I was a bungalow at Ovingham, that's where they lived.
What were your working hours in the beginning? What hours did you work?
From 7:30 to 5:00.
And did that include Saturday?
Sometimes if it had overtime on a Saturday, which was very seldom.
What was your first wage?
9 and 6.
And did you hand that over to your mother?
Oh yes. We got a shilling back.
Could you do much with a shilling in those days?
Oh, you could. You could fix it 2 or 3 times a year, though. Got a pound of chocolate for fourpence. Far better days then what they are now.
What kind of work were you actually doing or learning to do? What was it you did?
I was turning table legs. Dining tables.
And you'd work under the supervision of someone, did you, in the beginning?
Yes, under the supervision, and I had to take an apprentice on to see what 3 months and I was finished. I had to work for about 5 months. Well, get started again, and I went to Northern Bedding Company at Derwentorf, which was changed over 94 to 60 GUS.
And what work were you doing then?
Wood turn.
The same work?
Same work.
What happened if you made a mistake with your piece of wood?
Oh, well, very seldom made a mistake with it. They could have used what it could have blindfolded.
They didn't give you a clip across the ear or something like that.
No.
It was no. Work life was okay.
No.
And did you progress from obviously one type of work to another as you got more experience?
Well, when I finished with turn, I used to work on a different machine, spindle, you know, roller machine, plane machine, and so.
And were there annual increases to your wage? Did you?
Well, you may get a penny if you were lucky. It's more like a halfpenny, so you put a halfpenny in for it. You waited about 3 weeks before the pay clock, I forgot to put it in.
What wage did you finish with in this work you were doing? What was the highest wage you got?
When I finished all together, it was £5 a week. That's when I come back with the army, £5.
And that was after the war?
No, after the war.
When did you get involved in the Terriers?
Well, the family been in, you see, all that time. And my second, eldest brother, he was in the 2nd Battalion, he's buried in Shanghai. He was a Jubok, you know, he'd done his 9 years, he was Jubok home from India. And then the Tenzin carry-on happened. We sent it there, he died there with the Prophet at Gunsa. His company commander used to be Phillips, you know, he was at a fish shop in Barras Bridge. They'd come, him and Major McCullough come back here, you know, had a decent feeling and all that.
They bring his body back, did they, to England? Your brother, did he come back to England? His brother, he was buried out there.
He died in Shanghai, so he was buried over there in 1927.
And what other family connection with the regiment did you have?
Well, the uncle of mine was, he had 38 years with it. 90 solid. Sergeant Major, he was.
And I think your elder brother joined, didn't he, before you did?
Oh, yes. So when the war broke out, he was at the company office in Broad Terrace. They sent the mob papers out. And of course, we wondered, you know, the demand. He was in the MT, in charge of the MT right through the war.
What date did you join the Territorials?
Pardon?
What date did you first join the Territorials?
It was about May.
What year?
I'm trying to think the year, isn't it?
1929, did you say to me earlier?
Probably 29.
How did you, now, how could you join the Territorials? What was the method of joining?
Oh, it was just, you know, a change from just hanging around the corners. You know, the family being in, they say that we took to it straight away.
And you went up to the drill hall, did you?
Yes.
And what happened then?
Well, we used to go up there on Monday and Friday for band practice.
Did you move straight into the band?
Pardon?
Did you move straight into the band?
Oh, yes.
You were telling me that you were below age when you joined.
I was 16, so you joined as a boy, I was only getting a shun a day. But I put my age on a 17 and got two by the name, see?
That you say 2 shillings a day, was that for going to the drill? Was it a drill payment?
Yeah, no, or it was an ordinary payment for it.
So you go to the drill hall and you'd say you wanted to join the Territorials. What happened then? Did you get a uniform straight away?
No, I waited for a uniform and then I got squared up and...
How did you come to join the band?
Well, I just don't know. I fancied it. I was in the band right soon, and I made Lance Corporal in 1937.
What was your role in the band? What did you play?
Solo drummer.
Had you been drumming before you went into the Territorials?
No, just you picked up.
And obviously you got the instrument as well. How much practice did it take you to become proficient? What kind of time did you put in?
Oh, I put 2 hours a night in, Tuesday and Friday. Of course, when you passed out, we used to go to camp, we used to pass out, you get first, second, and third class. But first class got to happen to the extra, second, and the penny. He's got a bugle major from a 6th battalion because he held on to he used to take the 9th battalion buglers and drummers classified in.
How many drummers were there in the band?
We had 8 side drummers, 2 tenor drummers, a bass drummer.
And the rest of the band would be made up of what? The rest of the band, what was it made up of?
Buglers. I was talking about 30 in the bugle band, whatever it is. The band and the 3 battalions.
And did you use wear the dress uniform with the collar chevrons or whatever they call them?
Yes,
And were you allowed to take that uniform home with you?
Oh, yes.
And look after it, obviously.
Look after it.
Did you do any other training other than with the band itself? on your drill nights?
We just had a normal army training on, shooting on the range.
So you still had those qualifications to make, as well as find time for playing your drum and with the band.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been pretty hectic at times, was it?
Oh, I wouldn't say it was hectic. You got an interest in it, you see. And you got an interest in it in your career as well.
The light infantry pace, was that taught us right from the very beginning when you very first joined?
Yes.
You didn't build up to it, you just went straight into it.
Straight into it.
It must be difficult walking at that pace and getting used to having a drum slapping on your side.
No, it's only when you had a leg apron on, you see, you were stopped at the leg. And of course, you just got to swing the drum, you see, to move forward.
Did you play for special occasions? When was the band used?
Well, you see, you used it for different. But I guess, you know, any parades you should be on. And I wonder, you know, Tune Valley Estate was opened. We went down there and the Guard of Honor came, you know, and the King George and Queen Mary came up there for another occasion. Had to get a vote for there. I got special permission to get a vote, but we wouldn't pay us for getting us. I got $2 for the day.
So they let you off, but they didn't pay you?
No, they didn't pay.
Were they pretty good, your work people, at letting you off for things like this?
Oh, well, it's quite naturally serious roles that'll let you off in case you should get contracts from the army.
And you'd have to have a very high turnout of smartness.
Oh, yes.
Were you inspected before you actually went?
Before you went out. Yes. Even on drill parades at night time, they drilled all, they inspected the equipment, you know, checked it, you know.
Was the drum kept at the drill hall? Did you take that home as well?
I take home. Had to keep it, you know, tight and long to it. See, it was in good order.
Was it one of these drums with the battle honours on the side and so forth?
Yes. It's up to the maybe the drum of hands actually when they're in there now.
In the museum. So there must have been a great pride in you know being in the band and Do you remember any of the people that were in the band with you at that time?
Oh, there's quite a lot. Of course, they're all, practically all dead now. Mm.
How would you keep a drum up to, you know, in tune or whatever the correct phrase is?
Oh, they had what's called side lugs on. It's a tighten them down, you see, and then there's a snare head. Catgut used to be there. It tuned it up from there. Of course, there was all books came up these days then, you know, it was very, you get dampness on this, it was terrible. After that, they got the plastic.
So the problem was to keep it dry then?
To keep it dry.
The other training that you had to do, that you talked about, the usual drill training, how were you taught that? Was it to numbers?
Yes. Oh, they were the same as what the other chaps used to do. Really. Of course, it took them gradually work as well.
And you obviously became proficient at that training as well.
Yes.
What was the expected role of a bandsman if there had been, or when the war came as a bandsman, what was the role that you were given?
Switch over to Arkaka platoon, the protection of the one was Arkaka to see, you know, wherever he went.
And were you still in the band when the war started?
Yes.
What was the first uniform you were issued with?
The khaki uniform. Of course, they were all old second-hand, you know. second-hand stuff.
Was it First World War style?
Yes.
What exactly did they give you?
I gave them a full kit of trousers, jacket, shirt, and socks, a pair of boots.
So you would have that uniform, obviously, for quite a while.
For quite a while.
At what point did they issue you with the band uniform?
Oh, we got that on, I think it was about 6 years afterwards. So it had to be paid for. It was a red scarlet uniform. And we had to organise dancers for to get the money to pay for them. But they get the red uniform.
And what else? What when you say a red uniform, what was it?
The one that you say, not the photograph.
At the red jacket.
Red jacket.
Were the trousers red?
Trousers.
And the webbing or the belting, what was that?
The sash, that was buckskin, white buckskin, white belt.
It must have been pretty expensive, I would thought.
Oh, at that time.
And the money that you got for these, you were raising through public subscription and, as you say, dances and so forth.
No public subscription that time. Just relied on the army what you got.
Were you given a rifle as well?
Yes, fire course, just to see what the men had.
So you did your rifle drill?
Yes.
What rifle was it?
It's not West, an Enfield. A revolver.
Did you like the rifle as a weapon?
Oh, yes.
And you, of course, obviously, as you said, you did the normal drills.
Normal drills, yes.
And all those were done at light infantry pace.
Yes.
Does the light infantry drill differ from other drills that you get in the British Army?
No, I couldn't say it. Any distinction between the two.
You carried your rifles out the trail, did you, rather than...
Trail and
on the shoulder.
Trail and the shoulder.
And the shoulder.
And the shoulder.
Who was the drill sergeant, or who took the drills in the drill hall for when you went?
Only the sergeant major or the RSM.
Do you remember the first one?
Well, the first one, was a bit ragged, as you think. But everything else, we got on with it. We were fishing in the end.
And the first RSM, or company sergeant major, what did they call him?
Landrick. He actually came from the Yorks and Lancs. He came to the day alive.
Did you get on well with him?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Was it up to numbers in the battalion that you were in, the 9th Battalion? Did you had no problem with the numbers of people that were coming in?
No problem.
It was full. Uh-huh. Was it popular with the public at large?
Very popular.
You weren't looked upon as weekend soldiers or
weekend soldiers.
Playing at soldiering.
I say soldiers, a fool of soldiers.
Did you do marching through the streets on occasions?
Yes.
With the band, obviously.
With the band.
And did you get the crowds watching you? Did the crowds turn out to watch you?
Oh, yes. When we were called up, we used to go straight down to Team Valley Stadium, and all the woman used to come up to the factory waving the arm.
It's quite a steep bank down to the Team Valley and back again.
Oh, it turns out.
What did the drill hall look like?
It was just a small place. It's still not existed there. Actually, just the Freemasons have it there now. They took it over when the war finished, you know.
Can you describe the inside, going through the front door, what did it look like?
Oh, just like an ordinary dance floor. We had the veranda upstairs with the company officers. The whole room used to be down on the the front, bottom floor.
Was there a place for the weapons, the armoury?
Yes. The armoury was just behind the old hill.
Who was your first commanding officer?
Colonel Crouch.
What was Colonel Crouch like?
Oh, he's quite a good chap.
He'd be quite an age then, at this time.
I think he died when he was 61, I think.
And he'd served with the 9th Battalion and had commanded it at the end of the First World War.
Yes. And after that we've got Colonel Henderson.
What was he like?
He was quite a good chap. He used to live just beside Edward, over the Sandring Terrace, because it was pulled down there now.
Who was in charge of the band? Who was the band major?
Bugle Major. Yeah, we had a Bugle Major, and a band also with a military band.
Who were those people?
The first one we had was Frank Borthwick. That was our Bugle Major.
And did you get on well with him?
Oh, yes. I was very hard on him, your job, you're saying, you what was expecting of you. If he didn't, well, he just answered the call.
Did the drums have a specific task, as well as obviously playing when the bugles were playing? Were drums used in giving any particular calls in the battalion?
Not the drums, not light infantry, just have the infantry where they use that.
And the light infantry, it's the bugles that do the calls?
All the bugle calls.
Who else was in command? Was in charge up at the drill hall when you joined? You've got your colonel and your
RSM.
Bugle major. The RSM. Who was that?
Londrick.
What was he like?
Oh, he was quite a good fellow.
Was he regular army?
Regular army. He came from the Oaks and Lancs to the DLRs. They transferred him.
And you, being in the bugle band, would be with the headquarter company, were you?
Yes.
So you were based at Burt Terrace?
Burt Terrace.
The adjutant, did you meet him at that time?
Pardon?
The adjutant?
The adjutant was...
But he was a regular soldier as well?
Yes. All the staff jobs were regulars.
Did you, obviously you did enjoy being with the battalion?
Oh, yes.
Did they teach you of its history at all? Pardon? Did they teach you of its history? What it had done before?
No, they didn't teach us history at all. I just got that from the rest of the family that had served. So my father used to be the 5th Volunteers, used to be the 9th of the LI. He was the 5th Volunteers during the First World War.
But you would know that it had quite a history, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
Through your family.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a good service. So the family there, quite so, you know. Father was in, the brother was in Shanghai, he had 9 years in, and Joe and I had 22 years in. His brother Joe, he's dead now, he died here across September. He was in T-Sales and went right through when the brigade was broke up, you know, when the war finished. They went to the 7th Army there and they went right through to Berlin.
He had quite a time with them, didn't he? Was it usual for sons to follow fathers into the battalion?
Oh, yes.